Most protein drinks ask you to choose between results and taste. Bucked Up decided that's a ridiculous trade-off. Bucked Up makes lightly carbonated protein drinks, 25 grams of protein per can, clear protein, not milky or thick, and they taste so good that 25 grams of protein almost feels like a bonus. Bucked Up is so confident you'll love their drinks, they're giving away an island vacation just to prove it. That's the kind of brand this is. No purchase necessary. Giveaway ends May 30th. Enter and find your closest Bucked Up at buckedupenergy.com. Grab a Bucked Up and feel like a million bucks.
For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Detroit Basketball!
JD, another jam!
This is The Rich Eisen Show. From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Katinga Thunder Moneyball, Thunder by 19!
Earlier on the show, Prime Video NFL analyst Andrew Whitworth. UCLA head coach Bob Chesney. Coming up, Jaguars general manager James Gladstone. Comedian Tom Segura. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Already a great fun 2 hours on the program. Bob Chesney, the head coach of UCLA football, was sitting on that chair just an hour ago. Now he's gone. Back up to Westwood, California. Hour number one, we had the great Andrew Whitworth zooming in. His beard was glorious, and he said Ryan Fitzpatrick blow dries his beard. That's news. And I just had a great chat with Tom Segura in our green room. He's going to come out in about 20 minutes' time. We're going to chop it up with him. He's got a ton to talk about with his shows and podcasts and so much that are happening with him. What he did last night, he was in Funny AF with Kevin Hart and Nikki Glaser. And it was, I mean, the Netflix is a joke fest is outstanding. He's a big part of it, along with Bert Kreischer. Yep. Going to be at the Rose Bowl. Should we have him sign our Rose Bowl seats, too? Technically, ooh, if he's run a 5K at the Rose Bowl. He's performed at the Rose Bowl. He's
run a 5K at the Rose Bowl. Yeah, that counts.
I mean, let's get Tom Segura signed.
Yeah, why not?
We just can't have him sign near Troy Aikman because it's not the same, right?
Not the same.
Okay. You attended, maybe next, you sign the back?
Maybe next to Joel McHale.
Yeah, because he didn't play.
Right.
Rich,
right.
If you've attended a Rose Bowl, maybe you sign the back.
Mm.
Well, then
I don't like that idea.
Multiple Rose Bowl games?
You know what? If I was the general manager of this team, I would reject that.
Okay. We tried.
I guess I am the general manager. I generally manage through all 3 hours every day.
Yeah, if everything was different, it would have been different.
Thank you. If everything was different, it would have been different. Good new drop, Mike, from Wemby the other night. James Gladstone is here on the Rich Eisen Show, general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Good to see you, James. How are you?
Life is good. Jack to be here.
I'm Jack to have you on. You and I have some friends in common who speak very highly of you, James. You should know that.
Love those guys. Obviously, between Les and Kara.
That's right.
People who have made a significant dent on my life.
I bet so.
I know that they share a very similar sentiment when discussing you and your wife.
I appreciate that, James. Look
in
at
the
us.
Same virtual setting.
Look at us chilling out on a two box on a Zoom right here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, so what does your job look like right now with the draft in the books, James? What are we
doing?
It's
pretty fun. Fresh off the field. You know, we're in phase two of the offseason program.
Okay.
And rookies are traveling into Jacksonville here this afternoon and this evening, and we'll get them in the building tomorrow morning and onboarded. And rookie minicamp will be over the course of the weekend. So a fun time with a lot of moving parts. Obviously, you know, with the draft just being wrapped up, we now – transition into really the focus being on this football team in the lead up to 2026. While at the same time, a lot of our college staff is turning the page and focusing their attention on 2027.
What did we see last year, James, from the concept of what you and Liam Cohn were cooking up programmatically, program-wise, that you saw out on the field go, that's exactly what we wanted, that's exactly how it came out? What happened last year in that regard, do you think?
Yeah, that's a fun question to ask. You know, as I think back on last season as a whole, I think there was a lot of positive steps in totality. I think at the same time, we definitely felt versions of adversity. And one of them, sort of finding our footing through back-to-back losses, one of which you got to call the game for in London against a team that Liam and I are intimate with in the LA Rams. And, you know, taking a bye week and resetting really where we were sort of strategizing around how we might level up over the course of the back half of the season and really feeling good about that plan of attack, only for more adversity to hit. The fact that we were able to find our footing despite some of those adverse windows and bounce back in a real way and show some version of anti-fragility as a part of that, as a collective group, as a team, it was inspiring. I think it led to a lot more belief in what was being coached, being preached. And that momentum certainly has carried over into the early portions of this offseason, and look forward to seeing what that continues to look like moving forward.
Did you say anti-fragility? Is that what you said? I'm writing down. What is anti-fragility? What does that mean?
You know, yeah. I think the opposite of fragile.
Ah. Right?
So it is okay. An interesting way to, I guess, phrase some of that. But nonetheless,
yes,
I think that, you know, as you think about that game in particular, right before the bye week, we're in London and we get beat pretty good. We come back off the bye and we're prepping for the Las Vegas Raiders, and Travis Hunter gets injured during that week. We come out, have a battle with the Raiders. They're really trying their best to salvage the season at the time, and they're fresh off their bye week, and Brian Thomas Jr. gets hurt in that game. And so we had a lot of guys level up towards the back half of that game itself, and get us through with a win, only to turn around and play the Houston Texans and get a big lead and surrender that lead and exit with a loss. So I think that kind of window of a season, you know, it's not uncommon territory. It's likely to show itself, you know, one season after the next in some way, shape, or form. But to be able to overcome those windows is a really important element. And I think Liam's leadership, our coaching staff, they really did a great job, as did our players, to respond the right way.
Yeah, you won every regular season game the rest of the way after that loss to Houston. And I do remember, you know, Liam talking about in our pre-broadcast meetings in London about not shooting them yourselves in the foot and not, you know, not having so many darn penalties. And then, you know, and then it was one of the worst games of the year in that regard for you guys. And I'll admit, like, flying back, I'm like, where are the Jaguars going to go from here? You only lost one regular season game after that, and that was one in which, as you pointed out, surrendered a lead. And then, of course, you mentioned those injuries too. Let's talk about Travis Hunter. Where do things stand with him right now, James?
He's in a good spot. He's out on the grass in a limited fashion here, and that'll be the case throughout the remainder of the offseason program. As we get into training camp, he'll be full go. And really looking forward to building off of the momentum that was that game for him individually versus Los Angeles in London. Obviously, being able to breach the 100-yard mark from a receiving standpoint, getting the end zone. At the same time, he turns over to the defensive side of the ball and gets a PBU on a really critical down versus Devontae Adams in coverage. And so being able to build off of really where we were at that point in time and use that momentum to carry into this next season is an exciting piece for us.
Well, then the phrase limited obviously is usually used for a player about physically going to be limited in terms of the number of reps, number of, you know, things that he can do based on his health. But when you're talking about a guy who can play both sides of the ball, I'm wondering if limited is also another word that you might use for how you're going to use him, James.
Oh, I like it. You could have asked that a little bit more directly. Like,
let me do it. I didn't want to be, you know, I was testing your your anti-fragility, you know. So what do you think? Are we done with the two-way with him or not?
Absolutely not. No, he is set to play both sides of the ball. The the piece that I think we can expect to see is actually an uptick in corner usage, right? Last year, it was a higher volume, higher percentage of wide receiver usage than it was corner. I think we can expect to see that corner percentile and count go up as we move forward. That's not to say anything impacts his availability and usage on offense. It just means that that cornerback usage will increase.
Why do you choose that side of the ball to increase rather than the other?
It's not to say that it won't increase on offensive either, but it was lower on defensive side this past season. We also have a different defensive cornerback room, and the bodies are different than they were a year ago. Our roster construction is different than it was a year ago, so it's more fitting to slot him in a corner in a different way than it was at this time last year or even as the season progressed.
What does he want to do? He doesn't, you know, obviously we don't get to chat with him too much. What speaking for him, if you don't mind, what does he want to do?
He wants to play both ways, and he wants to do exactly what he set out to do when he first started putting that into action all those years ago, and that's his dream, and we'll look to support that in the best way that we can and be able to do what we feel like is in the best interest of winning football games, and that's putting him in the position to do what he does best, and usually that's with the ball in his hand, and it's defending some of the best receivers, and so it's an exciting element and one that we feel like we're going to reap the rewards of and look forward to bringing it all to life.
All right, so to recap here, because I can't get enough of this kid, and I understand that's why you would trade up and give up capital in this year's draft, is for somebody that fills two spots on your roster and does it expertly and did it expertly and knows how to do it mentally, physically. But to recap, his injury is not going to cause the Jacksonville Jaguars to say what so many in my business think. Physically, it's an impossibility to do long term, and you're just going to cut that off right now, and he's going to play one side of the ball. That is not happening.
Yeah, you said it. He's not going to be impacted in terms of usage from that vantage point. He is set to play both sides of the ball, and we look forward to bringing that all to life here in the upcoming season.
Okay, let's do that. What is the plan at running back for you now that Travis Etienne went to New Orleans? What is your plan at that position, James?
You know what? I think Liam's always been a strong proponent of a committee approach and being able to leverage multiple runners and varying running styles together. So we're looking forward to how this room is taking shape, right? Obviously, we brought in Chris Rodriguez, who was with Washington most recently, but was with Liam at Kentucky and has a really good feel for inside runs. And Bashaul Tutin, who we drafted a year ago, really took a good step in his rookie campaign with Travis leading the way. Look forward to activating Tutin in a more significant manner, while at the same time, you round out that room with two guys in LaQuint Allen, who we drafted in the seventh round a year ago and had a real role on third downs, is an extremely good pass protector. And then DJ Dallas, who joined us towards the back half of the season and offered special teams contributions in a real way and has a veteran presence to him that, you know, everybody appreciates. So looking forward to seeing how it all takes shape here throughout the course of the offseason program, but really once we start to get the pads popping closer to the fall.
I imagine the 8 minutes for the first round in the draft didn't really matter. Actually, it was to your benefit because it got you closer to getting on the clock finally yourself without a first-round draft choice, James. Yes?
Preach.
Correct?
Preach. And you got to appreciate having a little extra time to prep for what lies after it. You know, it's not unfamiliar territory for me or whatever you might label as stillness on day one of the draft without a first round pick at your disposal. So.
Coming from the Rams, yes.
Yeah,
I get it.
Right.
You've had a lot of practice with picks not coming in the first round. I get it.
Right. We've waited longer than pick 56 overall in the past. Funny. So it wasn't too bad.
So what do you have from the Rams organization on a daily basis? Obviously you were there from 2016 on to the time you left to go to Jacksonville. How much does that provide a base, and when do you realize, like, in a moment where you're like, okay, I did that with Les, or okay, Sean did that with Liam, you know, himself. You're like, how much does that come up in your day-to-day?
I think it shows itself in an authentic form. You know, I think with both of us, myself having Les as a mentor, Liam having Sean as a mentor, we we both emulate certain pieces to their operation, to their modes of and behaviors. And I think at the same time, we have our own version of a relationship that's different from theirs. And, you know, I think we've installed a lot of the same things because it's what we value and what we found success with as how we move here. Nonetheless, being in a bunker with Liam is something, you know, that I get excited about every single day that I wake up. And the energy that he brings, the seriousness that he brings, and the urgency is something that can't be looked past. He does such a great job with our players in bringing their best out, and I think that's what we want out of anybody we invite into this building, is leveling up the people around them, and oftentimes by doing so, being nothing more than who they are innately. And I think that the more you bring that can do that, the better off we'll be. And we see a very clear path for what profiles fit this place and how we move. But to go back to how much it looks like Los Angeles and our time there, it's evolving, it's morphing. And I think the further we get removed from it, the less similar it'll be, just innately, but certainly things that we draw back from during our experience there.
That said, I noticed you drafted two tight ends in the same draft. I mean, like, that's right. I mean, you collect tight ends. I was joking with Les last week. He's going to start running a 16 personnel offense at one point. You know what I mean? Like, they collected another tight end in the draft, and you got two. Is that something to draw, connect dots here, James, or no?
I think there's certainly in that game that we matched up against them, it was a notable piece to how they approached us,
right,
and how they were able to attack us defensively. I think beyond just the way that they operated in heavy personnel groupings offensively, is that there was success across the league with that over the last year, and likely to be a trend that teams follow. At the same time, you know, it was a position that we felt like there was good options at in this year's draft, and a space where we wanted to continue to level up the competition internally. And I think we were able to do just that in two guys who offer various skills, right? It's not the exact same player that we're looking at in terms of what they can offer. And so certainly excited about the combination of those guys and how it works within the room itself as it stands.
And then how good is it that you don't have to go into a draft like, I got to draft a quarterback? I mean,
that's pleasant.
It has to be, right? Seriously.
That's pleasant. I can't say that I've truly ever been in a place where that had to be the case, luckily enough, right? And that my first year with the Rams, it was actually Jared Goff's first year. Mm-hmm. And so beyond that, it was I did see parallels to where we were in the transition from the 2016 season in Los Angeles to the 2017 season in Los Angeles, where it transitioned to Sean as head coach, and where we were a year ago today with Liam as head coach and transitioning in. So I do think that there's some of those experiences that we're able to tap into, because there's a lot of connected layers between the two timelines, but nonetheless look forward to seeing how it all evolves here in the coming season.
I would have loved to have been sitting on you know, in your office or wherever you caught the Les Sean press conference the Thursday night of the draft. I would love to have picked your brain on that moment when you watched that. You know,
it really wasn't until the next day that
right.
Liam walked in and he was like, oh man, check this out, everybody's talking about this thing. I'm like, oh, that's classic.
Right.
You gotta love that.
Classic what? Mr. Grumpy or classic Les in that moment?
Probably a little bit of both. I think it's fair to say both existed, you know. But at the same time, it's like, okay, if things go awry tonight, Liam, make sure you keep your composure. No.
That's funny, James. That's funny. Yeah, I mean, listen, obviously you're putting your own stamp on things in your own spot with Liam, and you had a great first season at that. And now comes the next piece. And I know you use the word level up quite a bit in this conversation. And I look forward to you building the roster that allows you to do that even more. And just wanted to say thanks for coming on here. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys making the invite. It's great to connect.
Anytime.
Look forward to the next one.
Yeah, next one I'll be more direct with my questions. Like straight as rock, right through the front door.
Dive right in.
Okay.
Deep end.
Thanks, James. Appreciate it. That's James Gladstone, the general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Yeah, right. Also, the sense of humor that we all frequently have here, our mutual friend Kara Henderson Sneed frequently has the same sense of humor. A new band name, Versions of Adversity.
That's right.
You know what you think? Or is that an album of what? Like REM? Versions of Adversity?
That's good. I like
that. Is that an REM album?
That sounds like an album name.
Yeah, don't you think?
Yeah.
Versions of Adversity. That's what they went through last year. All right. When we come back, Tom Segura. We're bringing him out of our green room.
Let's go.
Right here on the set, everybody. And the first 5 minutes of the interview will be promoting all the things in his career that are happening at once. That's next. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Rich Eisen here. PayPal is now the official peer-to-peer payment sponsor of the NFL, which means all the money moments that fandom creates, whether splitting tailgate costs or chipping in on tickets and game day food between friends, are covered. Wherever the game is played or watched, PayPal moves with fans. You can send money through text, email, or directly to your friends with eligible accounts on Venmo. Just download the PayPal app and share all the moments that matter. Account with PayPal is required. Not available in all regions where PayPal operates.
For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
Most protein drinks ask you to choose between results and taste. Bucked Up decided that's a ridiculous trade-off. Bucked Up makes lightly carbonated protein drinks, 25 grams of protein per can, clear protein, not milky or thick, and they taste so good that 25 grams of protein almost feels like a bonus. Bucked Up is so confident you'll love their drinks, they're giving away an island vacation just to prove it. That's the kind of brand this is. No purchase necessary. Giveaway ends May 30th. Enter and find your closest Bucked Up at buckedupenergy.com. Grab a Bucked Up and feel like a million bucks.
It just kind of trickled up from there, you know?
Tom Segura here on The Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience just returned. We saw a clip from Funny AF with Kevin Hart on Netflix last night. We'll talk about that in a bit. And Kevin Hart's roast coming up this weekend as well. Yes. For the finale of the Netflix Is a Joke Festival that's going down right here. And it's amazing what this festival has suddenly become. The names from the comedy world, it's just as A-list as it gets.
It's everyone.
Over and
literally
over and over again.
Everyone.
It is crazy how that is. And, you know, my wife and I, we explained to our kids that Netflix used to be something that you would rent a movie.
Yeah.
And it would come in the mail in the form of a compact disc.
Yeah.
And then you would have to mail it back on the honor system. And my children are like, what the hell are you talking about?
Do you know that when I got my special,
yeah,
I recorded a special. It wasn't like a deal was done. It was like on spec, as they say. And then you send it to people. So I sent it to Comedy Central.
Yeah.
And they were like, no thanks. And then it was like Showtime, HBO. And then I got a call and they're like, hey, somebody wants to buy the special. This is 2013.
Yeah.
And I was like, who? And they're like, Netflix. And I was like, the place you send DVDs to? And they're like, no, it's growing. I was like, cool. That's really great. Yeah, I'm growing too. So this is great. And it was like not exciting. It wasn't like today where you go like, this is the place to be.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I don't know, it was like a consolation prize. I was not stoked about it at all.
Right.
Yeah, and it just happened to just grow from there. But it was not a fun thing to learn about.
When did you meet Bert for the first time?
I met him in the green room
of
the Brea Improv in 2003, I think. And we were watching, it was a Saturday.
Yeah.
And college football was on. And I was looking up and I was like locked in because I'm a big FSU fan. And I was like, oh, he's like, you like FSU? And I go, yeah, it's my squad. He goes, I went there. And I go, no, really? He goes, yeah. I go, oh, what years were you there? And he was like, I think like 91 to like 98. And I was like, you're there like 7 years? He goes, I think so. I was like, you don't even know when you graduated? He was like, not really. I go, well, like, who was there? He goes, I think we won like a championship. I was like, so were you there in 93? He was like, I think so. Yeah. I was like, okay, so he had no knowledge of them whatsoever. None.
And now he's
now he's like what up on the board, firing him up and stuff that.
We went to the home opener.
Yeah, right.
Against Bama.
Yeah,
and he did a pregame speech to the stadium, where he ended in tears, and they just went absolutely bananas. It was epic. It was really fantastic.
And how about him this year and for the Netflix starting for the baseball season, the Yankees and the Giants? They had him in a kayak out there in McCovey Cove, and then he was out there, and then they never went back to him. So I'm like texting him, like, "Are you okay? Like, did you get out of the cove?" Like,
I talked to him later, and he goes, "I don't know what I'm doing here." I was like, "I didn't even know you cared this much about baseball." He's like, "I mean, I liked playing it."
I know, and he's hanging with Barry Bonds in the green room and whatever.
Oh my god,
dude, you should be there instead of him. Come on now, Tom.
What I say every time, yeah,
you know,
every time.
Oh my gosh. So you're running the Two Bears 5K this Saturday at the Rose Bowl.
Yes.
Now you did it at Raymond James last year.
And we did the Rose Bowl before.
The year before.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So explain to folks who may not know, and many of them do already, this is a legitimate 5K.
The origin of this is that we were literally doing a podcast.
Yeah.
And it was one of those just wild, like he says so many dumb things. And it was one of those things where we're like he was like, "We should do a 5K. You know, like, and I was like, "Yeah, sure." And like, when that episode came out, we started to get hit up and people were so into the idea.
Yeah.
And I can't take credit, but so many people have started their fitness journey because of this fight. Cause they come to it. It was the first year was like 2,000 people. The next year was 7,000 people. This year we're anticipating over 10,000 people. And it's just like this thing where it becomes community. And so there's like elite runners that come, but then there's people who are like, "I haven't done anything. Like, I look like you guys and I would like to get some, my blood pressure down." So they come and they walk the 5K, and it becomes this thing where it's like, we all get together. And now it's this big thing. It's like, it's legit.
So there are people who are showing up, who are professional runners? They want to win the 5K.
There's people out there who do the 5K in like 15 minutes. And then there's people who are there 2.5 hours later. Yeah. Yeah. It's the full spectrum of athletes.
There's people at the Rose Bowl going, "Can we wrap this up?"
We also do a thing where we're like, "Hey, as soon as you're done, we have drinks for you." So it's not like, it's not the most health conscious group that goes.
If I told you when you started this thing out that you and this pod and this run would be an inspiration for people to get in shape, what would have been your reaction to that, man? That would have been something else.
I would be like, I have diarrhea every day. Like, I don't think health is going to be aligned with me. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Bad Thoughts returns May 24th.
Yes.
And this is season two.
Season two, which I'm so thankful for. I feel like, you know, season one, you're like figuring out what a show is.
Right.
Season two, it's like we know what it is, and now we're so dialed in. I think it's a much better season. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. We really, you know, if you don't know, the show is not for everyone.
You mean the photograph of you on a bed in a bathrobe doesn't indicate that right
this,
now?
This doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of how far we push it, but I love that Netflix, I've been in a bunch of development things. I've done shows. I did a movie. I've never had a relationship where we go, "We want to do this." And they're like, "Yeah, okay." Like, they give us no notes. They're basically like, "Don't say the N word." That's basically their note.
Yeah, that's their.
Yeah. That's it. That's
not that that would be your default anyway.
No. Right. But that is the only note for the season.
Yes.
Like, dial it back on racial slurs and you can do what you want. And you're like, cool. Cool.
Where did you come up with the idea? Is there a genesis, a moment, or something like that?
Yeah, the crazy thing was I was on tour a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And I have a pay-per-view platform on at YMH Studios for like if we want to do a special event.
Mm-hmm.
And my idea was I had never done a scripted thing where like I wrote it, shot it, and tried to go direct to the audience.
Right.
So the idea was I wrote these like essentially short films. And we shot them, and when we edited it together, we realized we had like a 35-minute like episode. So I was going to put it on that platform.
Yes.
But I showed it to my agents, and they were like, "You have to shop this." We showed it first to Netflix because of our relationship, and they bought it. And so that was the whole thing, was like me just trying to make short films and seeing if I could deliver it to an audience.
And now here it is, season two.
And now
two,
we're in season
brother.
Two.
That's
yeah.
Freaking great.
Pretty crazy.
That's great. Where did the idea of opening a bakery hit you?
Being fat and loving food is kind of like how it started. I've lost weight, but
I can tell. How much have you lost?
I mean, I guess from the heaviest I ever weighed, probably like 70 pounds.
Dude.
But I mean, that's like a lot of years,
yeah,
basically.
Sure. Yeah.
But I feel like even if I had like 5% body fat, I'd be like, yeah, but I'm still fat in my soul.
Yes, you know? That's right. Yeah.
I mean, I love food. These guys, when I lived here in LA, one day I basically was just telling someone where I lived, and the guy was like, oh, best croissants in LA. And I love pastries and croissants. I went to this place, I had one, and I was like, these are legit the best, right? Because mm-hmm. there's nothing worse than when you go, I'm going to have a croissant, and it's like a dry, you're like, I wasted.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I just maintained a relationship with this guy. And one day, then he lived, his business was in the Palisades.
Yeah.
So after the fires, we were just talking, and I was like, well, you know, if you ever would consider coming to Austin, where I live now,
right,
I would do something with you. And he was like, I'll do it. And that was like, I was like, really?
Mm-hmm.
And then I just had to really do it. So we went from everything from like figuring out this name. Chicho Bomba means, it's what you call a little fat ass kid in Italy. So that literally is what you call a little fat kid.
So somebody in Italian walking down past your bakery, like a little chuckle.
Oh, yeah. The fat ass here. Yeah, that's exactly what they think. And we have pastries, pasta, pizza, everything homemade. And it's been selling out every day. And it's like Giamba and Marlo. That's the couple. They're the story. They're the ones who,
right.
who make it. But I'm the guy who's talking about it and trying to tell people to try it out, because it really is amazing.
Are we franchising it or what?
We have three locations in Austin right now. So
okay.
We have a fairground one. It's like a little food hall.
Right.
We have a lobby of the Scarborough building, but we just opened our flagship on South Lamar, and it's been popping.
Booming.
Yeah.
What about open one up out here?
Hey, man.
What do you do?
If you know somebody.
I don't know. I mean, I mean, you never know. You never know what people would want.
I know. I would love to.
It sounds amazing.
It's
like a pizza, pasta, pastry, the triple P.
Dude.
You know, out here in Los Angeles.
Good and good for you. Yeah.
I mean, if you're carbo loading for a 5K at the Rose Bowl.
The thing I do is like, if I go, when I do my 3 mile run, I realize I got 12,000 calories to go now. You know, like I've bought some room. So you got to replenish.
You're running are you running 3 miles a day or something like this?
No.
Okay.
Every time I get ready for this though,
yes.
The funny thing is I'll tell people who are legit runners and they'll be like, 3 miles? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, is that it?
Oh, God.
And I go, yeah.
Oh,
and they go, that's like my warm up. And I go, well, good for you. Okay. It's not my warm up. It's my marathon.
That's exactly.
Yeah. 3 miles feels like a lifetime.
Yeah. You're licking the pavement.
I'm hyperventilating. Yeah.
I'm with you on that front. And apparently last night again on Funny AF with Kevin Hart.
Yes.
You and Nikki, and you were the judges, right? The guest
judges? Yeah, we were the guest judges, yes.
And you chose a guy who worked the door at the Comedy Store.
We actually did not choose.
You did
the
not?
The audience voted.
Okay.
So Netflix and whatever is happening in technology now allows for people can vote with their remotes. And it was like the first time they've done this. So we were there like basically watching their sets, commenting on it.
Okay.
But the audience voted for Ron. He won the competition. Yes. But I'll tell you this. I have to tell you, the four finalists, which were Ron, Osama, Caitlin, and Reg, I was not familiar with everyone's stand-up.
Yes.
The three of us on the cast were blown away. We were like, these guys are so good.
Mm-hmm.
I felt inspired. I went into the Comedy Store right after and did a set.
Did you really?
Yeah, because whenever you see good, like good stand-up, it makes you want to do stand-up. You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
I'm not way watching the Masters. I want to play golf, but
right?
I'm not as good as those guys.
Well,
you know,
but it, like good art makes you want to do it. If you're a singer and you watch somebody sing and you're like, oh my God, it makes you want to do. So I was so blown away by how talented these guys were, how amazing their sets were incredible that I went and did stand-up right away. It was like, it was that good.
Is there, so you call up and you say, I'm coming?
Yeah.
And
And I just
they make room
in.
For Tom Segura.
They did last night.
They certainly did. Yeah. So that, and that's no kidding. That's
yeah.
What you do.
They were incredible, though, man. They
and
were
Ron's
so
going to be a guest at the roast on Sunday.
And Ron got an hour special from that last night.
That's unbelievable.
That's unbelievable. It's a game
life's
changer.
Made the game changer. At least it's not a half an hour.
He was working at an ice cream shop.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That is so cool. Are you part of the roast on Sunday?
No. I'm going to go check it out, but I'm not on it. But I know it's going to be amazing. Like, I think Shane's hosting.
Yeah,
they have a crazy day. It's going to be hilarious.
What was you got a good story from the Brady roast? I know you were part of it with Bert.
Oh my God,
I was there in the audience.
Yeah,
one of the funniest roasts I've ever seen, and I know what it means to our buddy Jeff Ross to have the roast format succeed and still live.
Yes.
I mean, he lives
he
for it.
He is the champion of roast.
He is the roast master general and whatever rank you want to give him. He's unbelievable. And so to get Kevin to say yes and keep this thing going, I think it's massive. It's big.
It's great for roast. It's great for Netflix.
Yes.
I think it's great for the comedy format. I think it's
right.
I think it's going to be huge again. People love it. Like it
should be.
Yeah, I mean, the Brady thing was like unreal to see the impact of it. I mean, I forget, they told us the time, I'm probably not allowed to say, but the numbers were outrageous on this, you know?
Yeah, no, they were.
They were outrageous, and it was live, and it was like it was a real change. Like, it made, I think, people realize that when you go live on that platform, it does something different than just releasing something.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they didn't go on. Was it the first time Netflix had gone live? I know they did. I think it was boxing was like a
they
two
did,
weeks before or something like that.
I forget where Chris Rock did a special live.
Right. Okay.
That did monster numbers for them too.
Right.
And you kind of go like, yeah, but specials can just drop. But there's something about being like, no, tune in now.
Yes, sir.
That draws people to it. And it worked. It definitely worked.
Well, who'd you meet that night that you knew? Bert might not have known, but you knew.
I mean, yeah, Bert didn't know anybody. Who would I meet? Well, Randy Moss, which was, come on.
Right?
Yeah. That was.
That's it.
That was the coolest. We hung out. Yeah, we're hanging out in like a room with like Gronk and Edelman, and Randy Moss is walking around. And we're like, what are we doing here? You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing here? And we're talking to them about like games. And then I actually, from that night, one of my friends is actually a former player, John Feliciano.
Sure.
Right? We
You were just FaceTiming.
Not well endowed, big heart, good guy, right? And when he came to Austin, I've befriended Joe Burrow because I was in Cincy and, you know, I think he plays there. So
yes, he did.
So he came to Austin too, and they're like, hey, you want to come to dinner?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah. And then we meet up at this place with those guys and Nick Bosa. Wow. By the way, I walk into the restaurant behind Nick.
Mm.
And so I get a POV of what it's like to be him.
Yes, sir.
People were looking up like they were seeing an AI human walk into the room.
He's a large man.
Large, but like his hair was flowing. And I was watching people who were like eating, and then they were like, and I was like, no one's ever looked at me like that. It's just crazy, right?
Well, it's also Ohio where he went to college. And so he's a folk hero.
Oh, yeah. So we walk in and we sit down, and then we're in this room having dinner. And then they start talking about injuries.
Mm.
So like Joe's like, yeah, my neck, you know, I got this disc that shifted in my neck. And then, you know, Nick is like, yeah, my knee kind of blew out on this thing. Mm-hmm. And then John's like, I broke these three ribs. And then I'm just like, in the conversation, so I go, oh yeah, I hurt my tailbone. And I could just, I knew as I said it, that I was like, I deserve whatever is coming to me. Like, these guys are talking about NFL injuries.
Yeah.
And I just felt, it got real quiet. And then Nick was like, did you get that falling down the stairs? And I was like, no, man, it was punt coverage in high school. He was like, punt coverage. I was like, yeah. I was like, it was Florida. It was real football. It was a real deal. And then they just lit me up for like 30 minutes of like, basically, you don't get to talk about that. And I was like, yeah, whatever you want to say is true. I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
I'm here.
So you got heckled.
I got heckled. And I just, I didn't even, I was just like, Okay, what about you? And then, you know what, Nick's? He was like, you know what I'm really into right now? I go, what? He goes, books. I was like, yeah, books are cool. Is this your first time discovering books? And he was like, well, yeah, I've been playing football so much that I never really read books. And he's like, but they're great. I was like, yeah, I'll give you a whole list of them. They're amazing.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. So season two of Bad Thoughts returns on May 24th. If you are in the area, go to the Rose Bowl on Saturday. I guess bring your running shoes and your drinking shoes.
Dude, right? It really is the most fun because it's not like an intense thing. You can walk, you can run, walk, you can jog, you can do whatever you want. It's a full party afterwards. We're in the Rose Bowl.
Oh, my God.
They give us the entire field. There's recovery stations. There's ice baths. There's drinks. There's food. There's music. There's a live podcast. It's thousands of people, and it is a full party. It's like a fun afternoon. It's totally worth going to. You will be welcomed and have fun if you go.
And then Netflix is a Joke Fest presents it as well.
Yes.
Which ends on Sunday night with the roast of Kevin Hart on Netflix. Epic. And then your bakery, stop by Chicho Bomba.
Please come to Chicho Bomba. Get a pastry, get a coffee, pizza, a homemade focaccia sandwich, burrata, and prosciutto.
Listen to you.
I mean, come on. Get pasta. It's incredible.
Look at you. That's in Austin. And Tom, you're... I really appreciate you coming by.
Man, thank you for having me.
Total blast. It's been too long. At Segura Tom on Instagram to follow the fun. That's Tom Segura right here on The Rich Eisen Show. We'll wrap up this show in a moment.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Rich Eisen here. Take a second and look at your city's calendar. Everywhere I go, there's always something coming up. Games, concerts, conventions, tournaments, the kind of events that bring people in from all over. And when that happens, you can feel it. More energy, more fans, and a whole lot more people looking for a place to stay. So here's something to think about. If your city has that kind of buzz, if big events are on the way, listing your space on Airbnb could be a great opportunity. If you're already planning to be out of town or you've got a trip coming up, why not make your place work for you while you're gone? You've got the space, and you're not using it. It could be earning you some extra cash. I know when I travel for these big events, I'm not just looking for a place to crash. I want something comfortable and safe, a place that allows me to experience the city like a local. And that's exactly what you can do by offering to list your space. No big lifestyle change, no long-term commitment, just making smart use of the space you already have. So the next time your city draws a crowd, think about listing your space on Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
In a world in need of a hero, one man rises to the challenge in style. He is just driving the kids to soccer practice. Make every day feel epic in an all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid with up to an EPA-estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. Because when you're hauling kids' gear, snacks, and backpacks, space matters. And so does comfort. Just make sure they keep their cleats off the seats. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for details.
Time that was back on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. PayPal is proud to be the official peer-to-peer payment sponsor of the NFL. When fans come together on game day, PayPal makes it easier to split ticket costs, cover tailgate supplies, parking, or even food. It's a simple way to settle up so fans can stay focused on the moments that matter. The NFL brings people together, and PayPal helps make paying each other feel easy from kickoff to the final whistle. Download the PayPal app to get started. Account with PayPal is required. Ladies and gentlemen, O'Shea Jackson Jr. is here.
Absolutely.
Now, listen, sir, I could see your T-shirt that you're wearing.
Yeah.
When you told me the name of the film that you were in with the cast and the concept of it, and comedy, and I'm like, I am all in. This sounds amazing. I'm like, what's it called? And you said the name of it that you now, if I'm not mistaken when you pronounced it on the show, Shathids, right?
Yeah, Shathids.
Because when it's spelled out, it's a total different word.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how are you going to be in a movie? You're like, that's the name of the movie. And I'm like, how are they going to market it? Now you're coming in, you could put about, It's called Idiots.
Okay, great.
Now I, you know, you branded it. It's
the same idea.
Same idea.
Yeah.
A lot more safe for work to promote.
Yeah, thank goodness.
You know,
because
what I mean?
It would have been some slip ups, let me tell you.
I just, you can't go on shows like this or late night shows or like podcasts you could do, but 100%. But Idiots.
Yeah.
And that's coming out in later on this summer.
August 28th, man.
Dude.
August
28th.
Get another one. Get another. Come on, man.
There it is. Idiots.
Just nice. Make sure y'all remember.
We got the cast right here.
Oh, yeah, man. 28th.
Dave Franco, who is outstanding.
What a monster.
Kiernan Shipka is in it, huh?
Sweetheart.
Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, legend.
Oh. Dude, and you're in it.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Bram Stark is a snake.
Ha!
Always.
Look at you mixing it up.
No king of mine.
Awesome.
No king.
I love it. Yeah, Idiots in theaters near you, and we'll talk about it.
100%.
What happened last night?
I mean, OKC does what OKC does,
which is
they were faster. You're not allowed to touch them, but they could touch you. And the dirtiest team in the league.
Oh,
yeah, 100%. Everybody gets hurt going against them.
Oh.
So it's like, come on now.
Well, I mean, Vanderbilt getting hurt, that was the backboard. That wasn't anything that they did.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, what's his name? What's his name from Philadelphia, TJ? My man that be dancing on TikTok, him taking out Luke's legs. Like, come on now. Taking out Kennard's legs and no, it's not a flagrant. It's fine. Get that home cooking. And I can't stand them the most because it's just the Frankenstein monster of the Clippers and their inability to really run a organization. The Clippers made this OKC team. So, like,
it's got a bit of a,
they got to eradicate them from the league.
Well, they had the draft capital from that,
yeah,
along with SGA.
From the Clippers.
Who, if I'm not mistaken, Jerry West was like, don't trade.
Yeah.
Right?
But, you know,
and
competent basketball over there.
And it's still going. But Sam Presti's turned these picks into human beings.
100%. But
nailed it.
It's aid from the Clippers. And they're aiding them even more because now they got a lottery pick because the Clippers didn't make the playoffs. So thanks, Ballmer. Thank you so much for this monster you have.
But the Lakers should be able to overcome it. No, listen, in all
Lakers honesty, in seven.
Okay.
Seven what?
Games. Are you in the playoffs? Don't talk to me. Seven games.
Got a point.
I will never be on any publication and disrespect my Lakers.
Austin Reeves can't go 3 for 16. It's just
he absolutely can. I agree. He should play better.
Good analysis.
We solved it.
Yeah. And the flopping?
Oh my God. They have perfected the art of manipulating contact on offense and then making the contact on defense look, oh, it's an accident. It's just basketball. Bro, you cut my legs from under me and it's not a flagrant.
Yeah.
You have so much time. And you see other teams complain about it. I'm seeing it firsthand because of the playoffs. Everything is magnified. But, you know, we know what it is, what they want to do with it.
O'Shea Jackson Jr., one of the stars of Idiots, as it is now known,
yeah,
on August 28th in a theater near you and in a podcast near you, No Contest Wrestling with T.J. Jefferson.
The great T.J. Jefferson.
That's about to be recorded. We'll wrap up this show on TV in a moment. For everyone else, we'll chat Friday.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.